This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swing and a drive right center field. That's big trouble. Up the alley, it's going to split the outfielders and go to the wall. And the Braves are going to have the lead. Austin Riley with a hard hit double the other way. And the Braves lead it 6-5.
Yeah.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Lot to do today. We'll get to some more on the NFL draft, which is coming up pretty quickly here. A Hughes Clues today, Daily Mock, Elliot joins the 12, and a frustrating Phil's loss last night. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, don't waste your time, anybody, losing any sleep over trying to make people make everybody like you. Don't lose no sleep over that. Don't waste your time.
I agree with that advice.
Yeah, because you're not going to, everybody's not going to like you, man.
People got to deal with it. They'll get over it.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
You do your thing. You do your thing, and we'll do our thing. 215-592-9494. All right, Phil's last night. Hugh, that was a frustrating loss, because if you tell me before the game they're going to hit Sale the way they did, I would have said, wait a second, we got Wheeler on the mound. Sale rarely gives up that many runs, and he got hit hard.
I mean, it was 5-5 for a while, though, yeah.
I mean, the Schwarber home run, Schwarber nearly would a cycle in that game. He was awesome. He crushed that ball. Castellanos, I thought, good at-bats early. But, Hugh, the pitching last night wasn't quite good enough. Wheeler was off, and then the defense didn't help him, and then the bullpen at the end came in. It just was it was the kind of loss where it felt like, man, if you replay that game again and you hit Sale that well, you should win that game.
Yeah, but I think there was a lot at play here.
Yeah.
You know, going into that game, you know, you said it before the game even started. You said it yesterday. This is a chance to bury the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
The Braves know that. They know that when you lose as many games as they've lost, they were 11 and like 1-11 or 1-10.
They were 1-8 entering last night.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
You lose that many games, man, and you got a good team coming in, coming off of that series we just had with the Dodgers, you might be dead in the water. And they knew that. So they came out fired up, and you could tell the way that game was going. It was a back-and-forth affair all day long. Now, obviously, there were some mental errors that were made that kind of swung the game in the Braves' favor. But I'm not as down. They were desperate. They were desperate to salvage their season, and they're going to be desperate tonight. They're doing everything they can to salvage their season. So I guess I don't look at it the way that everybody else might be looking.
So here's where I'm at. Like, a one loss to the Braves last night in the big picture is not a big deal, right? They lost the game. The Braves were due to win some baseball games. The Braves are still a quality team, even though they're off to a pretty bad start this year. The loss itself doesn't concern me. The issue I have, and Hugh, we'll get to the defensive stuff last night and the adventures of Sosa playing left field. Now, there was some great, and then there was some not. We'll get to it all. But, Hugh, I think there's the Phillies have a problem that is lying under the surface, and I think their early season record is making us not pay attention to it. But last night, it really was evident. Guys, the Phillies have a bullpen problem. This bullpen is not what it was last year. They lost Estevez in the offseason, and I didn't love him anyway. They lost Hoffman, though. And Hoffman, until he blew up in the postseason last year, Hoffman was a tremendous Phillies reliever. And they let him go, and they replaced him with Jordan Romano, who's been terrible. They didn't put him in last night, thank goodness. But then Kirkering, who's now got to be the best guy, he didn't have a good night last night. I'm looking at the bullpen right now, and again, I know all these stats are early, but it's relative to the rest of the league. The Phillies are 24th in baseball batting average against out of the bullpen. They're 20th in walk rate. They're 19th in ERA. None of these numbers are good. I mean, this looks like, and the numbers bear it out, a pretty below average bullpen right now. And if you don't want to, if you're not a numbers person, let me just kind of paint this picture for you. Opening day, You know why Alec Bohm had to save the game with the hit in the 10th inning? Because the bullpen blew the game.
Mm.
They were winning 3-1 on opening day, and they blew the game, and they had to go to extras to win it. How about on yesterday? You just go to yesterday, right? It's a 5-5 game. All that stuff happened. The Sosa Rojas thing and the outfield and all that. Wheeler didn't have a great game. It was a 5-5 game entering the late innings. That's a very winnable game. The Braves bullpen last night was better than the Phillies bullpen. Kirkering didn't have it. And my goodness, we got to see Tanner Banks in a one-run game? He might as well just wave the white flag when Tanner Banks comes in. He can't pitch. He's not a high-leverage guy. On Sunday, that's a 6-4 game late, and the bullpen gave it up before the offense came back and won the game. On Friday, they won the game 3-2 because JT threw out a pair of runners, but the bullpen really tried its best to blow that game. Opening day, yesterday, Sunday, Friday. I mean, the Phillies have a nice record right now. What are they, 7-3?
Mm-hmm.
But three of those wins, the bullpen nearly blew. Like, they were lucky to hold on to those games. I think they have a bullpen problem right now that they need to fix. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Let's hear from Jordan Romano a couple days ago. Again, he wasn't in there yesterday. Good thing he wasn't. But he was signed to be in games like last night. He wasn't because, well, listen to him. He doesn't even know what's wrong.
I'm used to just kind of being 96 around there the whole time. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know what's going on right now, but yeah, I need to figure that out for sure.
Is it frustrating that you're on a new team? You've had a lot of success in the past, but I'm sure you want to make a good impression. Is it frustrating you haven't been able to do that to
them? Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, on any team, you want to come in, contribute to wins, you know, and when you're not doing that, it doesn't feel great for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, the guy's rearing back and throwing as hard as he can, and it's coming out 92-93. 215-592-9494. It felt like a thin bullpen. I said this during spring training. You got three or four guys you feel good about. Romano's out of that mix now, so it's like Kirkering. All right, he's allowed to have a bad night. It was his bad night last night. Alvarado's a pretty good. Strom, I don't think he's fully there yet physically, but he's getting some outs. Beyond those three, though, I don't trust anyone down there. Hugh, where do you come down? Do the Phillies have a bullpen problem? Or is it too early to say? Where do you come down?
I think it's too early to say. I think that last night, when you look at – I look at it like this. I tend to step back and try to look at the whole picture and say – my thought process is this, Joe. If there was a night to experiment with different things, and I understand that it's the Braves, mm-hmm. and it's you know, they're reeling and you want to put the nail in the coffin. But having Sosa out there in the outfield, And having the pitching rotation the way that it looked, that screams to me like if there was an opportunity to see what you had, that last night was that. You know, now going into this next game, it might be a little different. But to be honest, no, I don't think that it's the right time to push the panic button. I still think that these guys are still trying to figure out their role because, as we both know, they've been interchangeable here for the last couple of years. Mm. So I think that last night, you just got the bear. The bear got you last night.
And it's a good lineup, and the Braves do this to a lot of teams. I mean, giving up runs to the Atlanta Braves lineup isn't...
It's not a shameful thing,
yeah,
man. And you're talking about a team that, before the game started, that's all we talked about, dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good chance. And I had a chance to talk to the Braves fans down there yesterday. And, you know, I was like, hey, you guys need to get it together. You look like you're dead in the water. And so they came out desperate, and they fought. The way that they fought last night, they knew that they were in a position in a situation where they had to get a win.
I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, again, if you get that many runs off a sale, you usually beat the Braves. They fought
last
night.
And he was frustrated.
He was.
He was clearly frustrated because it was one pitch where it was a ball and he thought it was a strike.
Yeah.
And he made it known that he was not happy.
Yeah, no, I get that. The Phillies lineup did mostly a good job last night, especially Schwarber, good at-bats by Turner, Harper. I mean, some of the guys Castellanos had some really good at-bats last night, but it wasn't enough because the pitching wasn't good last night. The defense had some issues. He was referencing the experimentation with Sosa, which we'll get more into over the show today, in left field. Some great, some not so good. But I just think sometimes a shiny record, you kind of miss the cracks. And I think the shiny record for the Phillies early, the crack is the bullpen. Opening day, Friday, Sunday, yesterday. I mean, they're this close to have blown four games already. It's just the fact that they won three of those that we said, I guess it's no big deal. No, it is. I mean, how many guys do you, right now, if they had to play a big game, and I know none of these games are super big, it's April 9th. But how many relief pitchers do you trust? I would say
Kirkering,
and he's okay. He's allowed to have a bad night last night. But I would go Kirkering, Alvarado, Strom, and that's it.
And this is still a situation where You know, you got Andrew Painter, who's going to work himself into the mix. Somebody could go into the bullpen.
That's probably going to have to happen. So Suarez is starting a rehab, I think, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Painter is going to pitch two innings. They're going to build him up very slowly.
So our boy might be going in the bullpen.
Well,
Taiwan!
Taiwan in the bullpen?
I'm just saying.
I mean, I gave you last week.
No, I'm just saying.
You peacocked around here.
I didn't say nothing about. But he starts tonight, don't he?
He does. Going to halt that losing streak at one?
No, I think he has a good night tonight.
Hope so.
Now, with that being said, I don't feel as strongly as I did last week.
Well, it's not the Rockies.
Well, not only that, it's a desperate team. It's a team that's backed into a corner.
And these other
trying to they're trying to rally. So, tonight I think he'll do well, but it's not feeling as good as I did a week ago.
You're not beating your chest like last week.
Yeah, like I'm not King Kong in this thing.
No, not this time. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say the Phillies have a bullpen problem? It felt obvious to me in spring training they were thin. Sometimes bullpens can outperform, and you're like, well, I was worried, and they're really good. Doesn't look really good right now. It looks like we have three relievers that are somewhat reliable. The rest of these guys, Carlos Hernandez, they've thrown him once. Jose Ruiz is fine. Joe Ross is fine. And Tanner Banks, I don't want to see that guy unless it's a blowout. Kyle, where do you come down as the Phillies lose last night? A lot of reasons for it, but it didn't help that the bullpen came into a tie game and they lit the place on fire.
No, the bullpen stinks. And this is how I know that Hugh did not take his pledge seriously.
What are you talking about?
Because this whole, give him some time. And screw that, dude. They're not good enough. They're not. We went into the season knowing that one of the biggest question marks with this team was going to be the bullpen. And I, like many others, hoped that Jose Alvarado would step up and really like grab that closer role by the horns. He's been a little too shaky for my liking. Orion Kerkering, I think he just had a bad night. I think I would trust him as the season keeps going on. Matt Strom, too. I'm okay with that. I was more, the bases were pretty full after what Zach Wheeler had done. And that was just an off day for Zach Wheeler, but the rest of the guys, I don't trust him as far as I can throw them. Jordan Romano is in jail.
Romano.
And he might be serving a life sentence.
Romano?
Yeah, whatever.
He hasn't earned his name.
He's not earned his name to be pronounced correctly.
I'm working on my enunciation, man.
Alshon Jeffery won a Super Bowl here. He was Alshon Jeffries for years. So Jordan Romano's got a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, anybody, and I'm about to gatekeep this whole thing because everybody was like, it's too early to be excited about the Dodgers. If you're panicking about the bullpen today, you're a fraud, by the way.
Wow. If you were saying it's too early to be excited about the Dodgers.
Yeah.
This is why the pledge was necessary.
That's right.
The pledge
And
means
some of us took it seriously.
And some of us did not.
Yeah, we did. Nope. All three of us.
No. Nope. You joked your way through that pledge.
I didn't joke my way through
You had your fingers crossed behind your back. We all saw it. They saw it on YouTube. Yeah, they did. Everyone knows. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to say the Phillies have a bullpen problem? It feels pretty clear to me. They're thin down there, and on nights that their best guys, like Kerkering, have a tough night, they're going to give up a lot of runs. I mean, they put Tanner Banks into a one-run game, and he gave up one more. He didn't, he didn't make the game unwinnable, but he didn't help. And I look at tonight, like, all right, so I hope
you're not helping.
He didn't help. Give him another run. I hope that Walker pitches well tonight, but it's probably a night they're going to be in the bullpen in the fifth inning or sixth inning, right? I doubt we're going to get seven or eight out of Walker, even if he pitches well. So you can't run from a bullpen that's a problem. And Hugh, you bring up something that we've brought up a little bit already in the last month or so is how are they? It's thin there. How are they going to fix it?
Yeah, it's going to be some guys. I think that there's a good chance that Walker might be, if Andrew turns out to be who we think he is or who we were excited about him being, he might be a guy that's going to be in that rotation. And then, Ranger's coming back, so yeah.
Yeah, someone's going to have to help down there, or they're going to have to make a move at some point. And I understand that they moved off of Hoffman, and he failed a physical with the Braves. He failed one with the Orioles. He ended up in Toronto, so maybe they thought his shoulder was about to go. But they had a really, a star-level reliever last year in Hoffman. They let him go, and they didn't add one. I mean, Romano's not that. Let's go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Did the Phillies have a bullpen problem? Chris in Middletown starts us off on this Tuesday. Good morning, Chris.
Happy hump day!
Or Wednesday. Excuse me. I thought it was I lost track of days here, Chris. I'm so worried about the bullpen. What's up, Chris?
Romano will do that to you, Joe.
He will.
And listen, it is Romano, and Romano is like burnt toast. All right. And yes, I realize I'm probably mispronouncing his name. And guess what? I don't care. It's a core value, Hugh. All right. He's cooked like the camera's body. It's just shot. It's done.
The camera's been working out, though.
He's lifting weights, he said the other day.
You said he looked pregnant. Okay.
Well, I said he's not as pregnant as he looked before. He's starting to drop a few.
But said he went from second trimester to first?
That's
not a compliment for a
man.
Well,
it's mostly water weight, probably. Yeah. That's usually what goes first, and then you know how it goes.
Yeah, so. Sure. Yeah.
Then you start to get into that weight loss.
On the day when I'm irritated with the bullpen, the last vision I want in my head is a picture of the camera with his pregnant belly. Thanks for that, Hugh. Appreciate it, bro. Good looking out. Guys, our main guys here are Kirkling. He's going to be great. He's fine. I'm okay with that. But I mispronounced his name. I'm allowed to. Core value. Yeah. Alvarado is a heart attack every time he takes the mound. He is starting to remind me way too much of our buddy, Mr. Paps, Bryce's buddy, Papelbon. And it's making me crazy. Strom, I'm a little worried about. I think we abused his arm so bad during the regular season. He fell apart in postseason, and he still seems a bit off. And I wonder if all of the mileage that's been put on him the past few years is starting to maybe slowly catch up. But we definitely, definitely need two good arms is what we need. And, thank God for Kyle, because you know what, Kyle? We need to, on this bullpen, we need to hit the alarm. It's hit the alarm time. Now, I know it's April 9th. Sound the alarm.
I was waiting.
We got an alarm going off.
Now, thank God Ranger's coming back. But you know what? Put Ranger in the bullpen. We know he's a stud out of the bullpen until you get help to that bullpen, because you know what? Lights Out Walker's been good. So we need him to be our stopper in that lineup. And I got a take, and I'm sticking with the take. He's good, so let's go. Now, guys, the one positive with all of this, and when there's panic with the team and there's a problem, bullpens are the easiest
to fix
in-season part of a team that you could fix.
Yeah, that is the silver lining. They are not
they
that
got
they,
options.
Yeah, not that they're very easy to fix, but you can do it. I mean, like it's
easier than getting a bat. It's easier than
sure.
getting a starting pitcher.
Yes.
Of all of them,
yep.
That is the easiest to fix. So that's what gives me some. Optimism that it's going to be okay. But as for right now, guys, we're in the middle of DEFCON 5 here. I mean, it's bad. It's getting about as bad as it can be right now.
So isn't it the other way around?
I think it's DEFCON 1. Or
We've gone over this a bunch of times, and
DEFCON
I just keep forgetting.
DEFCON 4 is bad.
Chris, we appreciate
DEFCON 4 is
that's
like
one we never nailed down.
We can't do this.
No, we did it. If we had to look. Every time we do it, we got to look it up.
We forget.
Yeah, we're a disaster.
I think DEFCON 1 is bad.
That's what I think so, too. So DEFCON 5 would be not that bad.
Yeah.
I think Chris had it the opposite. All right, so Chris is right that...
Well, yeah, one is the worst.
One is the worst.
Because DEFCON 4 is like, we chilling.
Where are we on this bullpen? I'm at DEFCON 3, and it's April 9th.
DEFCON 3 ain't... It's not... It's like
on
your
April
word, but...
No,
that's not strong enough. It's
all right,
one.
It's DEFCON 2. And we're not at
DEFCON
1 yet.
DEFCON 2 seems a little strong.
Well, you said 3 wasn't strong enough.
He said 3 wasn't strong
enough. You're at DEFCON like 7. You won't even acknowledge that this bullpen's not good right now.
No, because, see, this is where I try to bring the voice of reason in here.
Oh, stop.
And just try to add a little bit of calmness to this storm that we're going through. You faced a desperate team yesterday that was willing to pull out all the stops to get that win.
How about when we were up on opening day, blew the lead, and then we had to come back and win an extra innings? Because the bullpen's not any good.
Well, there's that. But I feel like yesterday that the Braves had to have that, and they were not going to be denied.
I don't want to hear your Atlanta spin.
No, it's not an Atlanta spin.
We'll get to you in Atlanta, by the way.
The fact
Benedict Arnold Douglas is
the
back.
The fact that Chris Sale was on the mound crying about a pitch. Did anybody see this?
Yeah, he was a little mopey.
He was mopey about one pitch.
Sale versus Boehm, mope off yesterday.
It was a mope off.
I would describe the severity of the situation as it makes me want to not wait for the trade deadline to try and get a bullpen on here. It's more urgent to me than that.
I thought you meant Boehm.
I'm done with him.
He was trying. He was trying to hold it together.
Stop.
You know how much confidence I had he was going to get a hit in the ninth inning? Zero.
You know what?
Zero.
I cannot wait to Kyle, you and your lovely girlfriend get married and y'all had kids and you have little Kyle running around. I hope little Kyle acts just like you.
You know what? If I saw little Kyle moping around like Alec Boehm does, I'd pull him aside and tell him to cut it out.
Kyle's going to come in and say, I've had it up to here with little Kyle.
Little Kyle's going to say, screw you. I'm not doing that.
And then he'll be going to bed with a red hiney.
and then you're going to jail.
And so, Chris,
you can't do that nowadays.
It's 2025.
You can't do that.
Right, so, it's a little red on you.
So Chris said something that's right. That it is the easiest part of a team to fix. Or yeah. But it also, there's two sides to this. It's totally true. You can get relievers at the deadline. You could move a starter to the bullpen. You could fix a bullpen. It's also the most frustrating thing to go through during a season as a fan. Guys, there's going to be 10 games like last night this season. You know, until they change this bullpen where it's tight late and the bullpen gives up some runs and we lose the game. And I don't think it's going to kill
them.
Who
was it a few years ago? I can't think of his name. That was killing us in the bullpen?
There's been so many in Philly's history. Who are you talking about?
Take your pick.
It was in the Arizona series.
Craig Kimbrel.
Oh, Kimbrel.
Kimbrel. That's,
well, people had the memes going this weekend. It's like you can kill the idea or something. But like, and it was a picture of Kimbrel. Now it's Romano.
No, yeah.
Every year, Dombrowski finds one of these washed up guys. It's every year. 215-592-9494. All right, against my better judgment, Hugh, I did start to wonder last night, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, and I reserve the right to take this back after tonight's performance. But. If Taiwan pitches relatively well tonight, I do wonder if they think to themselves, can we get by for two more months with Taiwan until Painter's ready?
Yes.
And Ranger, when you're healthy, we need your help in the bullpen. Because Ranger's been a reliever more than Taiwan.
Yes.
Ranger has experience.
And he's more comfortable with it.
And he's been good at it. I can't believe I'm saying this, but if Taiwan pitches serviceable tonight, like I mean like five innings, three runs, like he gets you through the game. I do wonder if they think to themselves, hey, he's back to being okay. We may need Ranger in the bullpen for 2-3 months.
That's an option because this is a fluid situation. That's why I'm not pushing the panic button because, like you said, you can go get a reliever, but you would rather go in-house because you got some guys. You got the cavalry coming.
Well, no one's going to trade anyone until June or July anyway.
Because you got Andrew, you know, and it could go either way. Even if he doesn't work out, you could probably put him in the bullpen for some relief. But I feel like they want him to be in the rotation. So, yeah, you have some options. If Taiwan goes out there and does his thing tonight, it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off of you.
Well, gives them another option.
Yeah,
it does. 215-592-9494. I don't think it's too early to say the Phillies have a bullpen problem. Where do you come down? Do they have one? Are you willing to go there? Or do you think it's too early to say? I view opening day, Friday, Sunday, last night. These are four games they had late. They blew the lead or they gave up the tie game and went the other way. They happen to win a few of them, but doesn't change the bullpen issues. I think the Phillies have a bullpen issue. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. We'll get to the other big moments from last night's game, in particular in the outfield. The great Edmundo, and then where you could tell he was inexperienced. And who really was at fault on the ball that dropped? Rojas, Sosa, we'll hear from Topper. And I'll give you my take on what I thought happened out there. And I might surprise you on where I come down, especially when it comes to Rojas' role in that. 215-592-9494. Plus, Hughes Clues is back. We'll get you set with that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
0-2 on the way. And it's swung on and hit high in the air, deep left field. Sosa going over towards the corner at the wall. He jumps, and he caught it. Oh, my goodness. Edmundo Sosa, his first play in his first start ever in left field, and he's robbed Ozuna of a home run.
Yes.
He brought it back over the wall.
What a play by Edmundo Sosa early in that game last night. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Do the Phillies have a bullpen problem? I believe so. They certainly don't have a Sosa problem because that guy's been a good player so far this year. Hugh, last night they, and you said it the first segment, they kind of experimented his first start in left field, and we got to see both sides of the Edmundo Sosa experiment. Let's start with the good, which was that play. Hugh, what a catch for a guy that had never played left field in a big league game to do it. And then he did a little, you know, the celebration by the wall with his bullpen buddies that are out there. That was an awesome catch.
Phenomenal
to save a
play.
Home run.
Phenomenal play. And, you know, we were talking about it early on, whether or not he would be comfortable out there. I would say it was a mixed bag of how he performed out there. But to have those type of plays against that team and the desperation they were in, I think that was pretty impressive.
So you could see right away there's natural athleticism. And most shortstops are the best athletes on the team anyway. There's natural athleticism that he, with time, I think he could figure it out there. Can we also hear the TV call? Because Scott's call was great. I also thought T-Mac's call on TV was awesome as well. Here's T-Mac on the robbery by Sosa last night.
0-2, hit in the air to left field, pretty well hit. Sosa's getting a chance, go over toward the corner, toward the wall, and he reaches up, and he made the catch! Oh, like Spider-Man! Edmundo Sosa first inning, he just robbed Marcell Ozuna of a home run. And look at the smile on his face.
Yeah, the Spider-Man call is a good one. And that's all that is athleticism, instinct. He's a baseball player, and he went out there and made a play. Unfortunately, that wasn't it, right? There was more to it last night. There was the good, but then there was the not so good. All right, let's hear the play. Second inning. This is where the game started to go off the wheels, really, for Wheeler here. Because, Hugh, there was a ball hit in the air by Riley that was, I mean, routine play. It happens every day in Major League Baseball. Shallow fly ball to the outfield in between the left fielder and center fielder. And here's how it sounded, and we'll talk about what happened there.
2-1. Swinging a high fly ball left center. Sosa coming over in the alley. He's calling, and he lets it. Actually, it ends up dropping right in front of Johan Rojas, and Riley's into second base. And obviously an experience in the outfield. And that costs a double. As Rojas definitely was looking over at Sosa as if Sosa was calling him.
Yeah. I mean, this is Johan's ball 100%. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
So that was a mess, Hugh, because not only did it lead to a double, it led to what was then a walk and then a home run by Murphy. So, in effect, that play led to probably, and look, Wheeler was a little off anyway all night, but
the Braves rally.
Yeah, I mean, three runs are on the board that if he makes that catch, perhaps one or none or just two or whatever. It's probably not three if he makes that catch.
Can I just take this moment real quick to appreciate the work that Scott Fransky does? Like, seriously, all jokes aside, because Scott has a way of, especially when you're listening to it on the radio, of delivering something where you know he's doing the best self-edit job that he possibly can in
that
moment.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
No, I'm saying, but it's one of those things, man, where he tries his best not to be a fan in the moment because he's trying to give the people what they need to hear. And you can hear his level of disappointment in that play.
Sometimes it comes out, though.
It does, man. And I appreciate that because and he does a great job of painting the picture, especially when you're in the car.
Oh, for sure.
And I just wanted to give him his flowers, man, because that one right there, he was perplexed. He didn't understand what the hell was going on with when that play just dropped at Rojas' feet. He didn't understand.
Part of why Scott's so great is he allows silence to tell the story sometimes.
Yes.
Now, I think great broadcasters do that. Joe Buck, once in a ALCS game, didn't speak for 25 seconds. He let the crowd tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Fransky does it sometimes, too. When something great happens, he kind of lets the crowd tell the story. But he also does a hue when there's disappointment. I was actually...
You can hear it.
I was moving around the house last night, so I had it in my ear. I was listening. I didn't see that live, but I was listening. It's a Scott. And I could tell by his voice and how the silence happened that it was a mistake.
Yeah.
The ball didn't just drop. Somebody didn't
get the memo. I blame Rojas in this because you've been out there and it fell at your feet. And in a moment like that, you have to, you know, Sosa, that's his first time being out there.
Yeah.
He's looking for direction. And you know, you have to kind of help him out a little bit. But the most egregious thing was you just let the ball fall right there in front of you.
So I might surprise you on this. And this is like a opposite of usual. I'm going to defend your guy Rojas for a second here. I agree with you. Ultimately, he's got to take charge. He's the center fielder. That was his first time playing with Sosa next to him. And as you heard, Scott said it in the call that it almost sounded like Sosa called for it. And then we found out afterwards, the topper said that Sosa was saying, You, yours, yours, yours. And I can understand how in a road park, when there's sound, like the crowd is you know, it's like, I could see how Rojas thought maybe he was saying, I got it. Usually in the outfield, and I never played at a big league level, but just watching all the years, the person who's calling it talks.
I get what you're saying with that.
There's no reason to talk if you're saying yours. Someone's got to call it.
So if I'm
an outfielder
that.
And it's noisy and I hear someone yelling, I'm thinking he's saying, I got it, mine.
So then
I might say, oh, you know what? He feels he's got it. I'm going to let him have it.
I give you that. But when you ain't been out there, like, come on, man. You're the elder statesman in this situation.
He should have taken charge earlier.
He should
earlier.
Have said, hey, no, me, yeah. I got it. Because he was right there.
I get it.
Was right there. That was in your area. So I feel like even though what you're saying might be true, and in the moment you hear what you hear, you still got to be the guy to take charge.
To me, the common denominator that changed yesterday was Sosa. Rojas never does that. Rojas is a good outfielder.
Yeah. He's had some boneheaded outfield mistakes before.
But typically, if the ball's in the air, he's pretty good. Like, he takes charge. He goes and gets it instead of Castellanos. He goes and gets it instead of Marsh. What changed yesterday, to me, was he's playing next to someone he never played with, and their communication was off. To me, that was more about the experiment than Rojas just got dumb all of a sudden.
So I think you're out of your mind. Because I think, to your point, that it's new for him playing next to Sosa. As the senior outfielder, the one who's out there specifically for his defense, we know he doesn't give you much at the plate. He's been in the outfield for, 3 years now?
Yeah.
Rojas? He should know in the back of his head he's playing with someone inexperienced in left field. And
that's,
the center field's job.
That's kind of how I look at it.
The center fielder's job is always to take charge in those moments. So even if Sosa's yelling, Rojas has the power to overrule him and say, I got it. No, I got it. No matter what Sosa's saying, whether he misunderstands him or not, forget what he's saying. He has to be the one that makes the call, finally. Well, he let that ball drop right in front of him. That was a joke.
So you're right. Ultimately, he should have overruled him, right? That's it. He can do that. He's a center fielder. I'm just saying, I would like someone to ask Topper how often an outfielder says something without it being, it's my ball. I just don't think outfielders say you.
But I mean,
that's inexperience from Sosa. Right, I think it threw Rojas off.
But like, it's almost like, and I guess this is a more extreme example. Remember when the Eagles let up that 3rd and 33 play, and Darius Slay's like, well,
on Christmas Eve against the Cowboys.
He's like, Slay's like, I did my job. He put the blame on who essentially were like rookies and you're like total scrubs. It's like, no, you're the captain of the defense. Like, it's you should be the one taking accountability, taking charge. And maybe even like communicating with some of the younger guys out there or the inexperienced guys out there. It's on, like, that's on Rojas. Sosa is inexperienced. That's kind of like, that's just what it is, though. Like, Rojas needs to be the one that steps up and goes, like, no, that's me, no matter what Sosa's saying.
I agree with that. He should have overruled him. I'm just saying that I think Sosa's inexperience led to the problem more than just Rojas forgetting what he's supposed to do out there. Also, to be fair to Rojas, and it's a good example you brought up because it's similar. Rojas did take blame after the game. Rojas didn't hide from it. He said, it's mine. I should have done it. Like, he took the blame for it. Can we hear from Topper with what happened in center field in that second inning on the ball that was just fell in between the two of them?
Yeah, there was miscommunication, but Rojas is the captain out there, and he's got to take charge. He's got priority, and so we talked to him about it. Especially, guy's playing left field for the first time in his life.
Was Sosa calling it? Is that what the miscommunication?
Actually, he was saying you.
Oh.
Which you shouldn't say anything. So there was a little bit of both, but yeah, it's Rojas' fault.
You should have said you people.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You people.
I am glad
that dog would have hunted.
You know what? I know that Sosa's the inexperienced one, and we're going to give him a little pass, right, because it was his first time. There's a lesson learned there for Sosa. You, in the outfield, I mean, Topper just said it. You don't talk unless you're calling the ball. There's only should be one voice. The person who says, I got it. Someone's got to make the call. I got it. And then you go get the baseball. If someone else is talking, if I'm in the outfield, I'm like, what is he saying? Is he saying he's got it? Maybe he's got it. I'll let him have it. And Rojas made a mistake on that. But I actually think Sosa led to that issue. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on all this? The Sosa situation in the outfield. And primarily the discussion early in the show is about the bullpen. Is it a problem? It feels like that to me right now. With Kerkering having a tough night last night, he's their best guy. Alvarado's been pretty good. A little wild. We expect that. Strom's been, I'd say, pretty good, but it doesn't feel like as good as he was last year. And those are the only three I trust. I mean, Romano, That game last night, that was a tie game. I don't even think he was a consideration. That's how bad he's been right now. And Tanner Banks in a one-run game. Come on. The bullpen's an issue right now. Four games so far this season, they've almost blown. Phillies ended up winning three of them. I think it's kind of covered up the issue here. Let's go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast talking Phillies. Hey, Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing this morning?
What up, man?
Hey, Will. What's up?
All right. You know what? Yesterday I was telling my partner, I said, damn. I meant to say this to the Phillies. Like, I think they got, I mean, I may be wrong. I think they got a little cocky last night. I know, our GM was trying to, do something different and everything. But, I know we just came off that big win with the Dodgers. And I'm like, dang, I hope that don't go to their head. Stay focused, and all we want to do is win. But, you know, we let one slip away from us. So I know we're going to finish these last couple games off strong. I just think, you know, these guys just got to stay focused. It's too early to say anything about the bullpen, right? Because I knew that was coming.
It's not.
I just think, you know, we got to let them blend in together. We got to let them go ahead and start playing together a little bit longer. And, you know, then we can make our decision. I say at least three more series. And then we can make a decision. You know what I'm saying? But I think we're still off to a good start. I just think we need to focus more. I think we need to steal some more bases. I think we need to, make that pitcher work, man. Make them work. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, we're going to have a good season. I just think we need to touch up on a few things. That's all.
Well, they do, yeah. And, well, we appreciate the phone call. Look, it's not too early. I mean, you can see it with your eyes. You can see it with the people on the roster. I don't think it's too early. Sometimes a shiny record can move you off of the little things, right? There's little things that happen with a team all the time. And this has been a thing all year. I mean, the Phillies right now, and again, I know it's early, but if we want to say, what were the stats being thrown out there the other day? They're number one in chase rate. Like, it is funny how when we like a stat, it's not too early. The chase rate thing, everyone talked about on Monday. But the fact that the Phillies are bottom half of the league in all the bullpen numbers, it's like, well, it's too early. No, it's not. It's the same thing. It's something that you can assign a lot of importance to, but it's not lying. They haven't been a good bullpen so far.
Well, I look at it more like this, Joe. Not like I say, oh, that's a good thing. It's a start. Like the chase rate thing is a start.
Yeah, you seem to view everything the same way. It's early. No matter how you slice it.
It's one of those things, and I know, you know, we're in a baseball for us is a live or die situation every day. But I don't think you really know a team till like, what, 25 to 30 games in.
It might be actually closer to like Memorial Day.
Yeah, because so all of these, the fact that we've started out the way that we started out is a good thing, in my opinion. And all of these things that you're talking about, like the Alec Bohm situation, which he did a pretty good job of holding his emotions last night when he struck out. It wasn't bad, but you could see it.
Yeah. I mean, it was better than other days.
Well, yeah, it's a work in progress, and that's how I tend to view it. You know, I never get too high, never get too low. I'm kind of like in the middle, and that's why yesterday watching that game, my biggest thought coming out of that was, man. The Braves knew they were in a bad spot. They had to win that game. They had to rally. And they fought and they rallied. The Austin Riley hit at the end. Like, they were in a position where they had to do something. Because you lose this, then it has the propensity to be even worse, you know, as you move forward. So now they got a little reprieve. They got a little bit of life. Now you just got to go in there and you got to take that little bit of life away from them.
Well, let's get a win tonight. 215-592-9494 to hop in. All right, before we go any further, we do have a prize to give away today. We have a gift card, a gas card from Sunoco. Now, it says here $94. You know I don't like that. I like the round number of 100. So we're giving away a 100.
Costing them a lot of money.
That's right. $6 at a time,
and
I do this.
The way that things are going, we're going to need all that gas.
You are. So we're giving it away. $100 gift card to Sunoco. Get the highest level performance out of your car with 94 octane. Now available exclusively at Sunoco Gas Station. So we're giving away a $100 gift card today. Let's do a little game we like to call Hughes Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hugh's Clues. Come on in, come on in. Hugh's Clues. It's Hugh's Clues and you.
Y'all know what it is. It took me a while to cook this up, and I take my time to give out these great clues.
But you see, you set yourself up for
no,
this.
No, because I feel like if you listen to this show, you should know me well enough to know, like, when I say certain things, it should just, oh, okay. It should just pop in your head.
I like how you put this on the audience.
I do.
If they're a little confused at your clues, it's their fault.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, but these are some good clues, though.
All right,
this is a good clue. You ready for this first one?
We'll tell you if it's a good clue or not.
Ready for this first
one? Yep.
This is one of my favorite sports figures.
It's not a good clue.
It is. It is a good clue.
It's not. There's so many sports figures.
Yeah, but I don't have too many favorites.
Well, you have enough. I mean.
And I'll take one away for you.
Wow.
He's not a football player.
All right. Well, that certainly helps.
Why would you do that?
Why would I do that? Because, you know, because
you
I
got
do
sensitive
this.
About your clue before anyone even
I know,
said it.
No, because
that does narrow it down. I mean, you're taking away a whole sport.
A whole sport, but because somebody asked me the other day, who is my favorite football player that plays? I said nobody. Because I don't have a favorite player. So
not Bryce Huff?
Bryce Huff ain't my favorite. I like him. I like the story. Bryce Huff is poised for a bounce back year.
Stop.
He's poised for a bounce
back.
Well,
I guess, I mean, three sacks is a bounce back after what we just saw last year.
Yeah, I'll give him six. Six sacks. Six. As an Eagle. If he's here. Why are you laughing, Kyle?
I mean, because.
He couldn't get six snaps at the end of the season.
I mean, he had trouble adjusting to what we were asked to do. He's going to get better this year, though. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Hughes' favorite sports figure is our first clue for Hughes' clue. Let's go to Julie in Swedesboro. Hey, Julie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Julie.
How
are
you doing, Julie?
I'm good. Well, honestly, I'm pissed off after last night. I mean, yeah, bullpen has a ton of issues. You guys went through all that. But seeing that ball land at Rojas' feet was atrocious. Like, when I saw that play, I actually screamed. And I don't know how I didn't wake my kids up because that just can't happen. And that was his fault. Yeah, I mean, Sosa shouldn't have called whatever he said, but Rojas should have made that call. He's the one. He's a senior outfielder. It's just pathetic. You can't let that happen in a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah, and it's a double whammy, Julie. Everyone's right that Rojas has to ultimately take charge. But when you're experimenting in your outfield in the regular season with a guy who's never played left field, these things happen, right? So the Phillies don't have a set outfield. It's April 9th. They're into the season. And unfortunately, we're experimenting here with infielders because that's how the team is set up.
That is true. I mean, you made a good point by that, but I don't know. It just looked like Little League. You know what I mean?
It did.
Or even people. And it's just embarrassing. I don't know. I just think that was just an awful call. There were just so many crazy things that went on that game last night. But I hope they keep Sosa in the lineup because he's just so hot. I just hope they figure out what to do with him. And hopefully Rojas will speak up more.
Well, he has to because he's not in there for his bat. We know that. So when he plays.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got to make those catches. All right, Julie, give us a guess here. Hughes clues. Hughes' favorite sports figure.
I'm Muhammad Ali.
That's a good guess.
That's a really good guess.
Super famous, big name, you know, obviously a legend there. That's a good one. Julie, not it, but a good guess there. Yeah, ultimately, it's a poor reflection on Rojas here, even though I do give him a little bit of slack considering the guy was calling something he shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have been saying yours like that. If you're an outfielder and you hear the other outfielder speaking, typically that he's saying, I got it. So,
yeah, I mean, I get that part, but you're the elder statesman.
I know.
Sosa ain't been out there that long, man. This is his first day. Be like, hold up, young Thundercat. Yeah. Let me get this.
I think it'd be different if it were the other way around. Like, if it was Rojas yelling at Sosa saying, yours, and Sosa's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
That would make more sense to me.
Well, then I'd be mad at Rojas. He knows you don't say anything unless you say, I got it.
But he's the center fielder.
I know.
Like, that's where I think this whole thing's backwards.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that has to take charge. No matter what Sosa, even if Sosa's yelling, I got it, Rojas has the ability and the stature to say, no, I got it.
I hear you.
Like, no matter what.
So here's the way I view it. I'm not happy with Rojas. Like, I'm not totally taking him off the hook. I think there's three elements, and in two of them, probably it's Rojas' fault. He should have been the first one to speak and say, I got it. He could have ended it by saying, no, I got it. You back off. But I don't think we should ignore the middle, which is Sosa speaking for no reason. If you're not going to catch the ball, you don't say anything.
Not making excuses, but being in that situation and just having that monster-ass play that you had, you're feeling yourself a little bit, Joe. You know what I mean?
You probably was.
You like, hell, this like that's your first time out there. And you make that monster, you go over the fence and you grab that, you get over the fence and you grab
and
that
And you
thing.
See that little dance he had with the bullpen guys?
You know what I mean? Yes, y'all can see me on the YouTube. Go over the fence. Like, that was a hell of a play.
Yeah, it was.
So now you feeling like, okay, I got this. And to me, the most egregious thing is y'all looking at each other in the outfield and the ball just, wow.
It was my son had his first Little League game, and my daughter's playing softball. That is a Little League thing where the ball,
it just
everyone
plopped.
Just looks at each other like, who's going to catch it? It just plops right there.
Yeah, that at least. So you should, I mean, Rojas, just put your hand out. Just attempt. Like, it looks better optically if you would have just put your glove out there and tried to catch it. It was like y'all arguing about who should catch it.
You got it, me, you,
nobody. Nobody got it. Nobody got it.
And then a few minutes later, there's three runs on the board. 215-592-9494. Do the Phillies have a bullpen problem? It certainly feels like that to me. There's about three trustworthy relievers. One of them had a tough night last night. I think we've got a bullpen issue, and how they fix it, I don't know. But what it is right now, especially with the Romano situation, because it seems like he's gone from, he's our closer, to, he's our high leverage guy.
We're working on it.
We're worried. I don't know what's going on. The fact that he was throwing on Sunday with all he had, and it was coming out 92.
That bothered you.
Yes.
That bothered you.
Because that's not good.
He was throwing it from the shoulders, and there still wasn't no heat on that
thing.
He
was sweating to get it to 92. You don't want that. 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up. Your guess is for Hughes Clues. All the Phillies conversation. Plus, there's been an interesting theme with some of the mock drafts that we've done lately, and I want to get everyone's take on it because there's a position that the Eagles have been linked to at least a few times in these mock drafts, and it's got me scratching my head. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than they think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.